Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
A lot of different things make it hard to maintain friendships and even meet new people. And that's what we're going to talk about this hour with our friend Judy Ho, licensed clinical psychologist, Hope Of, host rather of the Supercharged Life podcast. And she's been on Dr. Phil and just about every TV talk show you can imagine, and she's nice enough to spend some time with us. Good morning, Doc. How are you? Dr. Judy?
Good morning, Tommy. How are you doing today?
I am well. I'm happy to talk to you. I don't know if you heard the story I told just now, but I guess maybe you hate to start a conversation this way, but if you have strong feelings about the vaccine, as I do specifically about people getting it, so we just get out of this thing, I guess that should maybe be one of the questions to ask if you plan on dating somebody.
Yeah, you know, I've talked to a lot of my friends who are single and trying to date during COVID. And, you know, before the vaccine existed, it was like, well, how are we going to do this in a safe way? And then once the vaccine was available, they have the same conundrum as you do, Tommy. And I feel like it's almost like this other thing that we have to check off so early, right? Because before, when you're thinking about dating, you're thinking, okay, well, do we have the same lifestyle? Do we have the same goals? Like, are they a smoker and I'm not, blah, blah, blah. And now it's like, add vaccine and COVID protocols to the list. And I think that, you know, if you guys are so far apart, like you and your soon-to-be date, who is no longer, you can't really, like, how could you even, where would you even start?
That's the point.
So defensive about their decision. Everyone is so defensive about their decision. Like, you really can't even come back from that, I think. And so a lot of my friends have been like, well, it was going well until I realized, you know, he wasn't vaccinated, or, you know, he has anti-vaxxer ideas, or, you know, he doesn't care about COVID and he's been everywhere. And I was like, well, then we're not going to continue this date because I'm putting myself in jeopardy. You know, so there's like a whole other level of stress here that we're talking about.
And there are two concerns there. There's one, the real and the physical about getting sick, and there's the other one about, although I am vaccinated, there's the other one about the philosophy. And at one point, she even went so far as to criticize the media that spews these theories, and she didn't realize I was probably a member of the media that was talking about vaccination that she hated. So there was nowhere to go. I would be able to tolerate a smoker before I could an anti-vaxxer, but that's just me, and I don't want to get lost in me about this. How screwed up are we all as a result of COVID? Because, you know, Dr. Judy, I thought, mistakenly, I guess, because I wanted it to be true, and once the vaccine got out or was released and I got it, I thought, well, thank goodness this is over with. And I guess I kind of had a false expectation to begin with. This is affecting us all mentally, is it not?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, first of all, we are making progress. I know that the recent numbers haven't been as encouraging, and the way that the Delta is spreading is not encouraging. But we all have to remember we're in a way better place now than we were 6, 7, 8 months ago. So we have made progress. It's just, I think everybody's ready for it to be over, and it's not. And I can't even begin to talk about pandemic fatigue, because I think every single person has it, no matter how, you know, positive you are in general, like how good your outlook is. You're just going to be so sick of the fact that every other day something changes. So, you know, I'm in Los Angeles, and we had basically this massive opening just, let's see, maybe a little bit over a month ago. And then, of course, 3 weeks after the opening, they had to reinstitute all of these guidelines again. I think that that really upset people. It's like, oh, we finally thought we were free, and now all of a sudden, you know, we're taking steps backwards, and people are not, you know, complying. There's, like, fights breaking out in, like, restaurants. I mean, it's really crazy. So, you know, I think that just comes from people being so frustrated that it's just harder for them to control their emotional reactions. Whereas in the past, you might be like, okay, let's be patient. Let's hang in there. I think people have just lost their patience in general. And that does extend to like how we deal with our friends and our family members and the people that we care about.
You know, I talked to a political scientist earlier today, and he brought up a good point. That is, if you look at a pandemic, it's usually about 3 years, and we're about, oh, what, maybe 15 months into this one, 16 months. And after that, I spoke to a disease specialist, a contagious disease, infectious disease specialist, and I asked him jokingly that if I were to use words like, well, I think it should, hopefully, in a lab, I'd get thrown out immediately because those are not scientific words, right? You don't conduct a scientific experiment with, well, maybe it will, hopefully, I don't think, et cetera, et cetera. You got to be able to prove it all. I don't know if, I guess psychologically, really, in terms of what we're going through, have we put ourselves perhaps in a position of pretending to know more than we really do, or forgetting that, you know, hey, wait, back in science, in high school, when you did a science experiment, you couldn't just guess or you couldn't have an opinion on this. You had to go by what could be proved and what couldn't. And I guess, have we forgotten the scientific method?
Yeah, and, you know, this is a good question because, you know, I think the human mind, it can only tolerate so much ambiguity. And it really goes back to survival and evolutionary roots, because if we can't control our environment, we can't ensure our survival. And that throws us into fight or flight the entire time. And so all of this about the pandemic, I mean, you know, we're just learning as we go along. I don't think we've been in a situation like this for a long time. You know, most of the times we got to know what's happening. And, you know, there's at least a prediction, and the prediction usually follows through. Like this one, I think, you know, if the predictions keep changing, people don't really know what's going on. That's frustrating. So all of those ambiguities, I think, really stress people out. And then as a result, sometimes the reaction is just to be really staunch and like try to insist on a definite answer anyway when there isn't one. And I think that that's kind of the trap that we've fallen into. And it's not necessarily our fault. It's just the way our mind works. It's like we have to try some way to calm ourselves, and in some ways, pretending that everything's a sure thing makes us more calm, whatever it is that you believe in, whether you believe that this whole pandemic is a hoax and people are just overreacting, or, oh my gosh, it's way more serious than they're telling us, they're holding something back. You know, people become really fixed in their beliefs actually as a way to protect themselves in their mental state. And it's kind of unproductive, but, you know, that is actually the root of it, is self-protection.
Really? Somebody texted in, and we can talk about this. I'm 55 years old, and by the way, all of y'all, you're welcome to text in to the WWL Oakland Heart Jeweler talk and text line at 504-260-187 if you have any questions or comments about this. Somebody texted in, I'm 55 years old, and a friend and I, since we were 12, are no longer friends because he was exposed to coronavirus, that he only needed to quarantine for 5 days. I told him, no, it's 14 days. Apparently, you can't tell people they're wrong. His evidence was that his wife is a physical therapist, and that's what she said. So I guess the friendship is over. Is there a way for a vaxxer and an anti-vaxxer, or people that have differing views on COVID, to actually get along? Because to me, it comes down to thought process, and I don't know how you get past that if there's that strong of a difference in thought processes.
Yeah, you know, this is exactly what we're just talking about, Tommy. It's like people have to essentially make other people come to their side, and they say, no, I'm right, I'm right. And it just seems so much more important now all of a sudden that your answer is the right one and the definitive one. And I think probably part of the pandemic and what it has caused us to do is really reflect on our friendships in a wider way in terms of interpreting how people are reacting to the pandemic, and then using that as essentially a generalization for, like you said, their thought process, their attitudes, their personality. And I think that it's because obviously the pandemic is such a significant thing that it's hard not to have your thoughts go there. Like, this is not just like, oh, we disagree on a sports team, or, you know, even in the past, certain political opinions. It's like, okay, well, whatever, just write that person off for this topic, but not the person off entirely. I mean, I've had experiences like this where there are friends that I've been with for, gosh, 20 plus years. And because of their ideas about what's going on and like maybe their recklessness and not protecting themselves and others, it makes me question if I'm going to be able to be friends with them after this is all over. And our friendship has already suffered as a result. So I actually understand, because, you know, when you see somebody acting in this way, it's not just, oh, okay, so you're deciding not to go anywhere with your mask on, even though you're not vaccinated. It's more, how selfish are you when you know that there are people dying? So it becomes a much bigger generalization about who they are as people rather than just an action.
Somebody texted in, are we all going to pretend that the vaccinated don't shed the virus? And I don't think anybody's ever said that they don't. And that goes to the point, the reason I read that text, Dr. Judy, is it just seems as though people presume facts, not in evidence, that nobody's ever said that if you're vaccinated, that's why they tell you to wear a mask. It just seems like people take messages and they morph them into what it is that they already believe. And is that something that we're going through as a society in general, or is it related strictly to COVID, where I'm going to believe what I want, then I'm going to go and I'm going to find something, no matter how small it is or how unverifiable it is, to believe what I want to already believe?
Well, Tommy, I think that a lot of people right now, first of all, it is part of the human condition just to basically say, I need to find confirmatory evidence so that I feel good about my decisions. But I think the pandemic has really caused people to want to do that even more fervently because, again, the stakes are so high. And what I've seen is that there's been a huge divide. I'm sure you probably see it too, both in the media and just even in personal conversation between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated, where, you know, people who are vaccinated are, you know, maybe in some ways turning up their nose at people who are unvaccinated. Like, how could you do this? Like, we're all doing our part. You need to do your part too. And then unvaccinated are looking at the vaccinated like, you guys are a herd of sheep. Why are you guys doing just what the government tells you? You know, and I think it's really hard to come back from that divide. But I also think that the more you're kind of identifying, self-identifying into a group, the more you want to basically be aligned with people of that group, and you don't want to listen to the other side. And actually, that is really, that's actually not a good progression for, you know, us as a society, because if we only spend time with people that think the way we do, then you kind of fall into groupthink, and sometimes it would be good to have another opinion. But I think that right now, it's just too much. It's so divisive that people get into fights over this stuff, you know, yelling matches over how they deal with the pandemic. You know, one person is saying, I'm not comfortable and we're not going to see each other under these circumstances. And the other person is basically saying, okay, fine, then friendship over. I mean, it just feels like everything's on the line if you have a conversation with somebody that you don't think the same way about.
Oh, we're going to pick it up here. We come back. We're talking to our friend, Dr. Judy Ho, licensed clinical psychologist, Hope of the Supercharged Life podcast. She's been on Dr. Phil and all kinds of different talk shows, and she's nice enough to give us some of her time. If you have any questions or comments about this, you can text them to 504-260-1870 about maybe maintaining friendships, dating, etc., in the political divisive times that we're in, and also in the scientifically divisive times, or at least because of the pandemic, or is it still a pandemic? We'll continue when we come back. 924, Tommy Tucker, glad you're with us here on WWL. 928, we're talking to Judy Ho, our friend Dr. Judy Ho, a licensed clinical psychologist, Hope of the Supercharged Life podcast. She's been on all kind of network television shows, saw her in the audience at Dr. Phil a couple of times, not watching the show, but as an expert. And she's nice enough to give us some of her time. She spent some time in New Orleans, so she knows her way around the Crescent City. Doctor, here, explain this to me if you can, because I try to understand the way people think. So if I were to come on the air and say, oh, listen to this, Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson have all come out with a medication that will allow you to eat whatever you want and maintain your body weight. You don't even, your perfect body weight. You don't even exercise to get down to do it. This medicine affects your metabolism so that you can eat whatever you want, whenever you want, but you will reach your ideal weight, and no matter what, you're not going to gain weight as long as you keep taking this medicine. Or if I were to say Johnson & Johnson, Moderna, and Pfizer came out with a medication that will allow you to take this medicine every day, your hair will grow back, and it will make you look like you're 25 years younger as long as you keep taking this medication. I think there would be people that would be fighting each other to get to it, to get to the medicine. There wouldn't be Facebook groups about all kind of government this and government that and so forth. First of all, do you agree with me? And secondly, how does that compare with the way we think as it relates to the COVID vaccine?
Well, I think that, you know, based on what you were saying, I think people are always looking for that quick solution, that definitive answer, just like, let's get this one thing that solves all our problems in the easiest way possible without any work. And while that all sounds great, that's not necessarily how life works. There's a lot of ambiguities. There's a lot of risks and benefits, especially with different types of medications, vaccines, or anything else that you're going to use as a health solution. But I don't know. I think what's happening is, again, this is more heightened in the pandemic than ever, but I think it's just like common human condition because we've obviously seen it before. It's like everybody wants that magic pill that they can just take and have all their problems go away. You know, how easy would it be if we could just have that be our lives every day? And I've heard people more than ever, though, in the pandemic kind of, you know, really reminisce about that time when we were kids and everything was so simple. And the only thing that you really had to decide is like, if you were going to play on the swings or the jungle gym. I mean, like that, I think that it's kind of that sort of need for, you know, simplicity, even when maybe the issue isn't something that you can solve that way.
I'm just wondering what it says about the thought process in terms of, perceived benefit, because if there's the perceived benefit of eat whatever you want, maintain your ideal weight, I would be back in a 28 waist pants. Those were the days, Dr. Judy. I could send you pictures, but you'd never believe it. Or you know, a full head of hair, or make you grow taller, whatever it is you want. I don't think people would dig. They wouldn't want to know, I don't think, what was in it, what it caused, what it could manipulate, what it could that. But with this, they do. So I got to believe their politics enters into this, or there is not enough perceived benefit.
Yeah. And I think that this is where that narrative that you were talking about earlier about, you know, maybe people who are unvaccinated saying, well, the news is being biased and they're not reporting on clearly the breakthrough, you know, infections that people who are vaccinated are getting. It's just, you know, or that they're not putting enough weight on the fact that, yeah, people who are vaccinated can still get infected, but it's just much less serious and generally very, very little hospitalizations resulting from an infection to the vaccinated. And I think it's that idea of, like you said, perceived benefit, and everybody's thinking about it for themselves, right? So there's that idea of, well, this is not an 100% solution, right? Just because I get the vaccine doesn't mean that I'm never going to get COVID, so why should I even bother doing it? Or people have, you know, again, and this is because the science is lacking. Like, that's true. You know, we're just behind on the science because we have to release this so quickly that people are there to, like, basically fill in their own blanks. You know, they'll have a side effect that maybe isn't documented in the general literature, but they're saying, well, I don't trust the general literature anyway, and the side effect was so bad for me, I'm not even going to go back for my second vaccine shot, right? And so there's all of these things where people are just making these decisions for themselves, and essentially, instead of reading a list of like benefits and side effects, like with something, for example, very established like Tylenol, it's like, okay, here's the list, right? People are making this list up for themselves, right? Or they're going to maybe not so great sources to try to get those lists. And unfortunately, that obviously leads to faulty decision-making.
I think in my example of whatever it is you want to fix about yourself with the one pill, take care of everything, instead of looking for every exception, I think people would want to ignore it. They don't want to know what's in it. They don't want to know why it works. They don't know what it could cause. They just want to take it and be able to get it as soon as they can. When it comes to the psychological message of this, and look, marketing and branding, that's psychology is all that is, correct, in terms of getting people to do what you want them to do. It seems as though, and this is not just President Trump or President Biden, it just seems like there have been too many voices from too many different government agencies telling us too many different things. And in a way, maybe the messenger or the is the message itself is flawed and they cause a little bit of their own problem here?
Yeah, you know, I first of all, I agree with what you're saying. You know, when you're talking about something where it's like, this is something that I really want, people do turn a blind eye to a lot of the side effects. They just don't read it, right? It's like, oh, you know that there's some really bad things that could happen to you if you take some kind of diet supplement, but you're like, that doesn't matter. Like, if I can lose those 20 pounds, it's like, I just
and
don't even
eat
care,
ice cream.
You know?
And still eat right. ice cream, which fixes everything, by the way, but that's another story. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Exactly, exactly. No. I think that's, I mean, please, everybody feels that way. And, you know, if I wasn't running every day, Phil, you know, but basically all of our metabolism changes, and that's part of getting older. But I think you're right. I think that, you know, unfortunately, it's part of wanting to get the message out quickly by different agencies, government or non-government affiliated, but then later on realizing, whoops, our messaging was flawed or it wasn't complete. You know, the messengers, I mean, they're in a terrible position. I get it. But obviously, we all need to do a better job, either personally or if you work for an agency that's like, you know, basically dispersing these types of recommendations, that when you make a recommendation, you might want to couch it first, you know, and say, we're not sure. Or, you know, what I think the problem has been is that, again, just like back to full circle, our problem of everybody wanting definitive answers. Like sometimes I do think whatever the messaging agency is, they've been maybe like a little too definitive with how they're talking about the research, and then like 3 weeks later they have to go recant.
Right.
And that doesn't help people to trust what they're seeing or reading in the media from even what usually is a reputable source. You know what I mean? So I think that that's definitely contributing to people getting really confused. And then again, the result of that is just people making it up for themselves, you know, or only hanging out with people who think the way they do, so they don't have to deal with those ambiguities.
All right, let me take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about changing your mind and how some of the techniques maybe or why people struggle so much with admitting that they're wrong. I don't. I'm wrong so often. I got used to it. So I'll just, it's easier just to say I made a mistake. It's on me. Let's move on. But some people have a hard time with that saying, you know, doctor, initially I said a long time ago, I said, you know, this COVID thing is being overblown. I want to get COVID. I want to prove to people that it's no big deal. And then I retracted that because I said I sounded like an idiot by saying it because I didn't know enough at the time to say that. And I thought it was being overblown. But I admitted it. It's like, okay, I was wrong. A lot of people can't. So what are some devices maybe that people can use psychologically or hindrances to keep them from saying if they are anti-vaxxers? All right, well, wait, let me take a second look at this. Maybe you can give us some hints on that. 9:37, 23 before 10. Time for traffic now on WWL. 9:43, 17 before 10 is WWL. I'm Tommy Tucker. It's Monday morning, August 2nd. And we're talking to Judy Ho, licensed clinical psychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast, and our good friend about Americans, some are say, have fewer friends than they did 30 years ago. That's what a new poll shows, a crisis of friendliness or friendship, if you will. And Dr. Judy, before we get to some ways to maybe open yourself up to thinking differently, when it comes to friends, is there ever been an average, a number of, you know, what is it? Somebody said if you have one really close friend, you're lucky. If you have 1,000, you're a fool. What is a reasonable number of friends that you can really have relationships with that you can call them good friends? Because I don't think you can have 100 good friends, can you?
No, I don't think anybody has the time of day to actually keep up all of those friendships in a real quality way. And you know, the good news is there's actually no hard number, right? What we know about research is that it's about the quality of your friendships. And clearly, as you just pointed out, you just can't have quality friendships with 100 people. So generally, it's not really about how big or wide your social circle is. It's about how much you derive joy and a feeling of belonging and social connection from the friends that you have. And this is really robust research. We have, you know, decades of studies showing that when humans don't feel that they belong, when they don't feel like they have quality social connection, that's when things go astray, both physically and mentally, that there's actual physical consequences of that to your health. And of course, your mental health deteriorates too. And what I found in the pandemic is, of course, we probably have started to maybe whittle down our social circle a bit, sometimes out of necessity, sometimes because of these differences of opinion. But if you feel closer to the handful of friends that you still have, it's not necessarily a bad thing. And I was actually just having this conversation with my best friend yesterday, who, by the way, is all the way in Virginia. And my other best friend is in Baltimore. And we have kept up our friendship for over 20 years. And we have to really try because we don't see each other, you know, very often. But what we've talked about is that COVID has caused us to reexamine our social circle and essentially just boil it down to the necessary components only. Like, okay, who do I really want to talk to today? Who do I really care about? Who do I actually get something out of when I have a conversation with them and it's not stressful? And then people choose to spend time with those individuals. Now, the problem is when you stop doing that altogether and you're just isolating, right? So if you are one of those people, I would challenge you to say, who are the 2 to 3 top people that I really want to stay in good connection with? And just make a gesture today. Send them a text, write them an email, call them and just say hello for 5 minutes. But make sure you stay connected to really your inner circle as much as possible.
Some of my benchmarks are if you don't know who they're married to, who they're seeing, who their spouse is, if you don't know where they work, and if you don't know where they live, I think you're kind of kidding yourself if you call them a friend.
Totally. Or wrong? If you don't really care.
Yeah,
no,
if you don't really care.
Right.
Or if when the phone rings, it's like, oh, God almighty, no. Where's the button to press?
Exactly.
If that's the case, then maybe it's not even worth the time to keep pursuing that. So when it comes to opening yourself up to new information, changing your mind, admitting you were wrong, do you have any techniques that people can use to kind of condition themselves, not to change your mind necessarily, but just to change the way you think so that you're willing to listen to a different side of things?
Absolutely. Well, there's a thing that we teach in therapy called reflective listening, and this always helps you to take the emotional reaction that you're more likely to have if you weren't to use this technique off its runaway train a little bit and basically put the brakes on. And essentially what you do is instead of, you know how we are when we get into a divisive argument, when somebody's making a point, you're already thinking about your counterpoint. You're not even listening to them. So the reflective listening technique is about hearing the person out and actually kind of, you know, paraphrasing what you just heard. So, you know, maybe they'll talk about, you know, whatever their belief about the vaccine news lately. And instead of thinking in your mind, oh, I've got like 5 things I'm going to say to them that's going to totally prove them wrong. Instead, you just say, okay, let me just see if I heard you correctly. So what you were saying is X, and you essentially paraphrase what you think you heard. What that does is it slows down. Well, first of all, you have to engage to be able to do that. You have to actually listen. But secondly, it slows down your emotional reaction and it causes the other person also time to clarify what they meant. So maybe in your mind, you're thinking, oh my God, I can't believe they believe this. But then when you try to paraphrase, they'll say, no, actually, that's not what I said. What I said was this. And you're like, oh, maybe it's not as bad as I thought it was in the beginning. So that's a helpful technique, that reflective listening. And then the second thing is really trying to essentially change your mindset or your thoughts about what it really means to necessarily give ground or like to see the other side. You know, what are some of the positive traits that are associated with that? Well, that's somebody who's flexible. That's somebody who's cooperative. That's someone who's open-minded, and generally open-minded people tend to be more intelligent. You know, so start thinking about some of those positive traits that are associated with people who aren't so staunch in their own beliefs and actually want to listen to other people. And when you think about it that way, you might be more open to the idea of doing that yourself because you're thinking, oh, it's associated with some positive traits, not just like, oh, somebody who, you know, isn't willing to stand by what they think, right? I mean, there's really some positive traits about being more open-minded. So really reminding yourself about that before you get into the conversation. And my last tip is, if this person is important to you, really reflect on the value of that relationship before you open your mouth and say something you regret. If you really do care about this person, then maybe you do want to have a more civil conversation and find some way to make it work. And if you don't care about the person, just like we were talking about earlier, okay, fine. Like maybe it is the time to kind of distance yourself from that person's life. But if they are important to you, remind yourself of that before you enter the conversation and throughout so you don't say something that you regret and have this horrible place of no return where it's really hard to rescue that friendship.
I don't know if you heard me laughing in the background, but instead of listening, instead of getting ready to refute whatever it is they're saying. And you're not even listening to what they're saying. You just got your argument already planned, and you can see their heads start to shake no as soon as you start talking. I think
totally.
About the movie My Cousin
We've
Vinny.
We've all
where
done
he says,
it, right, Tommy?
Yeah, in My Cousin Vinny. Where he says, "Wait, what are you shaking your head for? You haven't even asked. You haven't even heard what I said yet."
Exactly.
And I love the scene in that movie because that's so true. Tell me about the book "Stop Self Sabotage."
Well, "Stop Self Sabotage" is a book that is all about trying to help you live your best life and achieve goals in whatever area you want, whether it's health and fitness or relationships or your career. And it's a 6-step scientifically proven program that I put together, and it's been doing well. And I thank you so much for shouting it out. I also have a second book coming out actually in a couple of months where I'm a co-writer. It's a book called I'll Give It to You Straightish, and the main author is actually Max Dubrow. She is a teenager basically writing a book for parents. So it's basically a teen writing a book for parents saying, hey, this is how you might want to parent your teen. And so I basically contribute to the book by saying, yep, you know, Max makes some good points, and here is an expert's point of view that can also help you to, again, be a more effective parent and have joy in your parenting when you're parenting teenagers, especially during this difficult time. So that's coming out in November, and it's called I'll Give It to You Straightish.
I would think, as a parent reading that book, you would remember to when you were a teenager yourself, and there might be a lot more communication. Thank you so much, Dr. Judy. Stop Self-Sabotage. You can get it at any of the usual outlets, Amazon, Books A Million, Apple Books, Barnes & Noble, Google Play, Harvard Bookstore, IndieBound, and more. Thank you so much, Dr. Judy Ho. Have a great day, okay?
You too, Tommy. Bye.
Bye. See you when you come to New Orleans. 9:52, 8 till 10. Traffic now. Traffic now. Tim, help me out. I'm confused. No, we're taking a break. Coming up, Newell Norman. We'll see what he's got planned for us today. Well, it's been a whole weekend. I forgot. We'll find out what Newell Norman's got planned for us today here on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.